This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration blends classroom learning with extensive field education, guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
Good afternoon. I'm Alex Degman, and this is The Rundown. Early voting and registration for the March 17th primaries began today in suburban Cook County and all 50 wards in Chicago. Residents can now cast their vote at any of the city's 55 early voting locations, regardless of where they live in Chicago. These sites will be open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturdays, and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sundays. Same-day registration is also available at voting sites, provided you bring two forms of ID listing your current address. Each site is equipped with a secure drop box for vote-by-mail ballots and is fully accessible to voters with disabilities. Voting location addresses can be found on the website of the Chicago Board of Election Commissioners and the Cook County Clerk. Many of the non-immigration cases brought against people during Operation Midway Blitz are now falling apart in Chicago court, but fighting a federal prosecution takes a toll. Jocelyn Robledo is an Englewood resident and one of the people whose cases was dismissed. She told WBEZ's In the Loop about the aftermath of her September arrest outside the Immigration Processing Center in Broadview.
My charge was a felony, right? It included a minimum of 10 years. And even while I was in there, the person taking my intake was like, this isn't a joke. This is serious. You have 10 years. And it's just like all of it is intimidation, from the coverage of the arrest to the trial to the moment. All of that is dehumanization.
The Sun-Times reports cases against 17 of 32 people charged with crimes during the immigration operation have already collapsed and no one has been convicted. The number of violent attacks against CTA riders rose to at least a 24-year high last year. The Sun-Times reports the upward trend has continued into 2026 as the Trump administration threatens to cut $50 million in funding because of crime. The city says it's working to address the Trump administration's concerns. Crime overall on the CTA is down. A park could soon be renamed after the late Chicago artist Don't Fret. Block Club Chicago reports friends and family are eyeing a small, unnamed plot near the 606 Trail. Don't Fret died last spring, but his portraits of Chicagoans can still be seen across the city. Today is Pulaski Day. The local holiday honors Kazimierz Pulaski, who was a Polish hero of the Revolutionary War. But it's also a day to celebrate the broader Polish community in Illinois. The Polish Museum of America in Westtown held a celebration this morning. President of the museum, Richard Ofshani, says today people can learn from Pulaski's bravery.
May the magnificent spirit of General Kazimierz Pulaski continue to inspire all Americans with a sense of duty to country, pride, a spirit of mission, and the never-ending struggle for human dignity and freedom.
Illinois is the only state in the nation to formally recognize Pulaski Day. You're listening to The Rundown. Keisha Golden is facing murder charges for fatally stabbing her boyfriend 3 years ago. She says she did it to save herself and the couple's unborn child. But as her court date looms, so does her fear. Will the jury believe that she acted in self-defense? My WBEZ colleague Anna Savchenka has this story.
It was October of 2022. Keisha Golden was 8 months pregnant, and she had just come home from her baby shower. That's when her boyfriend, Calvin Sidney, got into a fight with a friend. Golden tried to separate them, but it didn't end well.
He kind of pushed me down the stairs. It was like Fabs, stairs.
Golden's sister helped her up and took her to her place for a few hours until Sidney calmed down. That wasn't that unusual, says Golden. In the 4 months leading up to that night, police had responded to 5 domestic violence incidents involving the couple. When Golden came back to their West Side home, she brought up the fight from earlier.
I asked him, like, so what was really going on? You know, I wasn't sure about what happened, and he went off.
Golden says she blanked out after that.
All I know is my face was on the counter.
Golden struggles to recount what happened next, but her attorneys say that Sidney then slammed her into the fridge. A relative tried to separate them, but Sidney wouldn't back down. So Golden grabbed a knife and stabbed him in the leg. She had no idea that she'd hit a main artery.
After the stab, I just ran out the house. I wasn't thinking clearly. I just wanted him to stop, basically.
Golden says her face was swollen. Her body was sore. Eventually, she was taken to a hospital to get treatment for her injuries. After that, she was taken into custody. That's when law enforcement told her that Sydney had died.
And I'm like, what? I didn't believe them. I started crying. It was like, we're going to take you to get fingerprinted.
Golden feared she would end up giving birth in jail and that she and her baby would be separated. She also didn't think anyone would believe her, but her attorneys did.
She cried the entire time.
That's Assistant Public Defender Kyanne Keenan.
She didn't believe anyone was here to help her. And she also told me that she, her mother had given birth to her sister in prison. And she said that she, it was like her life's goal to break that cycle. And she couldn't believe that she was in that situation.
Golden's attorneys reached out to local community groups to help cover her bonds, which had been reduced. She was released about 2 weeks later. At the time, Golden says she couldn't tell if she was more scared of ending up behind bars again or her upcoming due date. But when her daughter Kylia was born a few weeks later, she says it actually helped her cope with her grief.
Once we got home, me and her got home, you know, I'm still fighting the case, so I'm sad. Every time I felt sad, it was either she was hungry or her pamper needed change. It was no sad time. I couldn't think about the case. I had to be a mom.
Despite the joys of motherhood, Golden's life hasn't been easy. She says she struggled to find work because of the pending charges. Now, Golden is due back in court on Tuesday. She's facing a minimum of 20 years in prison. Sydney's family could not be reached for comment. Golden's biggest fear is that a jury wouldn't understand her side of the story. But Keenan, her attorney, says that the evidence in this case speaks for itself, like the 50-plus phone calls Golden made to police over the years to report Sydney's alleged abuse.
She was at risk, and her baby was at risk every single day. Yeah. Every single minute that she was in that relationship, she was in danger.
But Golden says it's complicated. She still loves Sydney because he gave her the best thing she ever had, her daughter, Kylia. I'm the Savchenko, WBEZ News.
Partly cloudy, our forecast tonight. There's a slight chance of showers developing overnight. Expect a low in the low 30s. Mostly cloudy tomorrow with a chance of rain, highs in the low 40s. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Alex Dagman. Thanks for listening.